Hey there, Victoria here. I just wanted to pop in before we started this mini-sode today to tell you about something I've been working on that I'm really, really excited about. And I kind of hinted at it a couple podcast episodes ago. Years ago, I wrote down my entire mental health journey from overwhelm to having my total breakdown to healing and learning how to let go. I realized I learned some amazing life-changing lessons and tools along the way, and I've been trying my best to share them on the podcast and also with my Recreo.health. I wrote it all down so that I could remember everything that happened to me as a reminder of what I've been through and that I'm capable of doing hard things. Because when I was going through my overwhelm journey, my total burnout, I wish I'd had something to read like this that talks about the messy bits. How I was actually feeling, so that I could know that I'm not alone. And I'm glad I did. Writing that down was healing for me then, and it continues to be healing for me now. So I went back to it and I wrote it out again, and I feel light and free now. But here's the other amazing thing that happened as I was rereading my story I wrote down years ago. I realized that I wanted to make it into a workbook. I wanted to share some of the strategies I used and make it easy and accessible for you with some fill in the blank sheets, maybe some coloring sheets, some exercises you can do, some strategies and tools. So not only is this an ebook, it's also a workbook or journal. So I am introducing to you now my ebook and workbook called Let Go: How to Shift from Stress and Frustration to Joy and Freedom. I'm so proud of it. If it can just help one person feel heard and not alone as they're going through their journey, then I will be incredibly happy. And now I'm making it available to you. So if you would like to grab your copy of it to download right now, print it out, start reading, start working on it, go to myrecreohealth.myflowdesk.com/letgobook. That's MyRecreoHealth dot myflowdesk.com/letgobook. Yes, it's a long website. So check in the notes because the link is also in the podcast notes for this episode. I hope that it helps you, and I hope that you feel heard because your voice matters and you always matter just by being a human being on the face of the planet. Okay, let's get into the podcast. Hey there, it's Victoria here, your co-host for the Let's Relieve Regret podcast. Welcome to this mini-sode. Every once in a while, you'll see a mini-sode pop up in the feed or the list of episodes. And Shadow and I decided to do these mini-sodes so that we could dive deeper into maybe some of the concepts that we've talked about in the bigger episodes or some of the principles we've learned or something that's given us an aha moment to hopefully help you have an aha moment. And to help you use some of these ideas or themes or principles and put them into practice in your own life. So, every once in a while, either Shadow or myself will come on with just a little mini-sode. So, today I wanted to talk about the concept of radical self-care, which I've mentioned before. And also a little bit about how we talk to ourselves, affirmations, which we talk about a little bit, but I wanted to dive a little deeper into it and give you some ideas around it. So, radical self-care, what is that? It's a term that I keep hearing over and over again, and perhaps you've heard it too, or perhaps you've heard Shadow or I use it. Radical self-care is really talking about what self-care is, but by putting the word radical in front of it, it kind of changes our perspective around self-care or the idea of what it is. Because I think what's been happening with self-care or the idea of it is that it's not something that we need to do. It's a bonus. And when we do that, self-care can often turn into a form of avoidance, and it's not actually helping us to heal ourselves, which then in turn could almost turn into a bit of toxic positivity. So, for example, as an analogy,
We light candles to mask bad odors, like pets or burnt food or musty things, but we're not taking time to really address the cause of the unpleasantness. We're just going to be burning candles at both ends and never dealing with what is actually causing the smell. That can be a form of pretend self-care, let's call it, or self-care to avoid. Those two analogies really made me start thinking about what self-care is. So I've done some research and I'm just going to tell you a few things that came up with this idea. Radical self-care is the idea that you have the responsibility to take care of yourself first before attempting to take care of others. And we've heard this one before. You know, the airplane analogy, put the oxygen mask on yourself before you put the oxygen mask on someone else, because you can't help someone else if you're not surviving. Radical self-care is about taking care of things at the source rather than just sugarcoating or managing the symptoms. I love this idea. Radical self-care tells us to look after all the types of our self within us. So there's many different selves that exists within us, right? There's the coping self that is there when an emergency happens, or when we're just trying to manage, or when our energy is depleted. There's our social self. The person I am around people is different than the person I am when I'm by myself. There's the physical self, which is my body. There's the creative self. How do we express ourselves to the world with words, art, movement, music? This podcast is a way for me to express my creative self with my words and express myself to the world. And then there's our essential self. And that's the space from which we are driven to find meaning and purpose in life. It's the part of us that we come home to when we need to seek a sense of security. I kind of call that grounding or centering or clearing and really taking the time to really understand who my essential self is. Radical self-care says that we need to look after all of the aspects of ourselves. We need to protect and care for all of the different selves that we are in order to maintain our well-being and our balance in this world. It also tells us to participate in all types of self-care without judgment or guilt. If you're participating in self-care and you think it's taking a bubble bath, and then later on you say, "Oh, I shouldn't have wasted my time taking that bubble bath," we're judging ourselves or we're guilting ourselves. This is the analogy that I like the best that I've talked about on the podcast before. Radical self-care tells us that it's necessary to fill your cup first, to fill your cup, not halfway, but to actually fill it, and then to keep going so that your cup starts to overflow. And it's the overflow that you give to others. This is what gives you the capacity to heal and move forward with your life. Because if we're only filling our cup to full and then we're depleting it down to half or even empty and then refilling it again to full, we're actually stuck in a pattern of depleting ourselves to a place of maybe overwhelm, breakdown, or ruminating or worry. And then we have to take the time to refill that cup up. A better balance would be to have that cup near full or full. And the overflowing is what we give. Then we're not caught in this up and down and up and down of feeling depleted and then really having to take some serious work and energy to fill that cup back up. If we can find ways to maintain our cup as full throughout our day, throughout our week, throughout our month, that prevent us from getting to that place where it's half empty or empty, we can get ourselves into some better patterns of caring, healing, and maintaining ourselves. The other thing I wanted to talk about today is self-talk, how we actually talk about ourselves, because you may be talking to yourself as I'm talking to you today about radical self-care. You may hear a voice in your head that's saying, "That's impossible. I'll never find time to look after myself. I don't believe that I could ever be that perfect human that knows what self-care is." Whatever that idea is in your head or that voice that's talking back, that voice is often telling us what we believe about ourselves or what we believe to be true, but doesn't mean that it is. And one of the cures that we talk about a lot or that I've heard about a lot is this idea of affirmation. But I've come across some really interesting research on affirmations lately that they don't work unless we're using our words and putting them together in the right way. So there was a study done actually at the University of Waterloo here in Canada. that demonstrated that repeating positive statements starting with I am, like I am a lovable person or I am strong, made people with low self-esteem actually feel worse about themselves. And they actually started to enter a guilt or shame cycle because the affirmation wasn't working. I'm doing this affirmation. I'm saying it to myself over and over again. Why isn't it working? Why isn't it working? I must be a bad person. There must be something wrong with me because it isn't working. But the actual reason is because we're not using the words in the right way. If we say something to ourselves and immediately a second voice in our head says, no, you're not, no, you're not, no, you're not, that tells us what our belief is. And that can be very hard programming to change. So if we start with an affirmation like, I am strong, and you just hear, no, you're not, no, you're not, no, you're not, that's self-verification theory. You don't believe it. Other studies have confirmed that overly positive affirmations, so when we're talking about toxic positivity, or we're talking about manifesting things that maybe aren't realistic, like I'm going to get $1 million, I'm going to get $1 million, I'm going to get $1 million, they can actually lead to even more issues like sliding self-esteem, sliding well-being, lack of social skills and empathy for others, lack of coping skills with failure or hardships. And this is when we start to get into that place of toxic positivity, when we're thinking positive vibes only, manifesting things, but that's not realistic. That's not real life, right? So how can we find that balance of positivity and heavy emotions? And how can we find ways to actually reprogram our brain and actually reprogram our habits into radical self-care or self-care that's really filling our cup? And how can we actually do that with affirmations? So here's the key about talking to yourself to get your brain to actually listen and to get your subconscious brain to actually start reprogramming its thought patterns and reprogramming the habits that we have. Because our subconscious brain is in control 95% of the time, whether we want to believe it or not. It's guiding our choices, our actions, our attitudes, our moods. So if we can feed it information that tells it what we want to be doing in terms of our habits or the types of choices we're making in our life, it can make our life more easeful and joyful. Affirmations shouldn't be about who you want to be. They should be about how you want to feel, because feelings are our most powerful reprogrammers. Feeling the feelings are the most powerful reprogrammers we have, whether it's a heavy feeling like sadness or a light feeling like happiness. They're connected to memories and they are one of the most powerful tools we have to reprogram our brain, because we remember how it feels and we either think, I want to feel that way or I don't want to feel that way. And that's why it's important to feel all of the feelings on the spectrum and not practice a lifestyle of toxic positivity where we only allow ourselves to feel positive. I'm using quotes here, finger quotes here, to feel positive emotions, because we're just pushing down the heavy ones and we're not actually growing and moving forward as a human being. So let me say it again. Affirmations shouldn't be about who you want to be, but how you want to feel. So let me give you an example. Instead of saying, I am strong, I am strong, I am strong, you can say, I am capable. Instead of saying, I am in control, you can say, I trust my judgment. I can do hard things. I trust that I can handle this. Now, if that still feels weird to you, starting a statement with I am, if you're still hearing me say those things and you hear that second voice in your head going, no, I'm not, sometimes starting a statement, an affirmation with I am can cause your brain to resist. So if it still feels sticky, as Shadow would say, I love it when she uses the word sticky. If it still feels sticky for you or not quite right, try starting your affirmations with these statements. I'm choosing to believe that. Or I am in the process of believing that. And then finish that statement off with how you want to feel. I'm choosing to believe that I can feel light and free. I'm choosing to believe that I am capable. Think about words that evoke feelings for you and use those, and those will start to reprogram that subconscious brain. And those can be really, really powerful in terms of our self-care. Talking to ourselves is one easy way that we can start to change our self-care that is actually a form of self-care that creates change at the source. So what statements ring true to you? Try saying them to yourself in the morning and saying them to yourself at nighttime before you go to bed. Start your day and end your day with some great self-talk that allows you to feel and reconnect with yourself.